Blog Talk Radio.
The characteristics of the white man is evil. He was made like that through nature, now we say. Naturally, he was made like that. We would say, then devil. We can say a devil cat out there, a devil element, a devil we could call most any grafted thing a devil, you see. But actually, when we say Satan, we mean a man or a people that their weakness is not, say, confined to themselves. It spreads, and the others is affected by their wickedness. And the white man, we say, is the devil. Why? Because of his weak physically coming into being from original man, aboriginal people of the earth. When I met him, I looked at him, and he, it just came to me like this, that this is the Son of Man that the Bible say that prophesy that will come in the last days of the world, and that I couldn't get that out of me. And I shook hands with him, and I said to him, I say, you are the one that the Bible prophesies that will come at the end of the world under the name Son of Man and under the name the Second Coming of Jesus. And so he looked at me a little stern, and then he smiled and he put his head down to my beside my head and whispered in my ear and said these words. He said, yes, I am the one, but who knows that? But yourself, and be quiet. His mother, he says, was a white woman, and his father was a black man. Yes, sir. He taught us that he was born in Mecca, Arabia, and that he had come in and out of this country for about 20 years before ever that he made himself known to us. He had studied, he says, out here, or rather he had enrolled in the California University there, and he lived with a white family out there, he says, while he was going to the University of California. How long he went to this university, I don't know. But he says to me that he did go to this university and enroll there. And other universities he mentioned to me. And finally he told me this, that he had studied every educational systems of the civilized world, and that he could speak and, well, speak 16 languages and write 10 of them. He could speak 16 fluently. Well, I was not too much learned into scripture at that time, and I had not studied too much, but I had, from a child up, wanted to learn the scripture, because my father was a preacher, and I always, from a child up, wanted to help him or take his place one day as a preacher. And so I was always studying the Bible, and I had read much about the coming of the judgment and the coming of God and Jesus returning to resurrect the dead and all like that. I had studied much of that. And so all of his talk and teachings correspond with what I had learned of the scripture. And therefore, I become one of his, I should say, 100% convert. And on his leave of us, he began to tell me what I may expect, what will come to pass, and what I should do to try and make my people qualified, rather to refine them and make them acceptable by the Islamic people, and teach them that they must change completely in the way of righteousness, and that they would have to forego the name that they was in, and that he would give them all a name himself. And much he said to me. He used to teach me night and day. We used to sit some time from early part of the night until sunrise and after sunrise, all night long for about 2 years or more. He was with us 3 years, a little better, and I was constantly around him, and he was constantly teaching me of things of Islam and what is to come and what was before. And this is the way that we begin. And he patted his hand on my shoulder, give me kind of a little show a way around it. And there was some more there at present. And he started talking to some of them. And about a month later, he told my wife to tell me to go ahead and start teaching out there in the little part of, I would say, it's not a little part now, it's a very large part, in Hamtramck, Michigan. That's in Detroit. Hamtramck is in Detroit. And I was living in Hamtramck at that time. So he says to my wife, you tell him that he can go ahead because I had wrote him. And he received my letter. And I was telling him what I could not tell him there in the public. And then he says to me, you go ahead and start teaching, and I will back you up. And I started teaching that he was the answer to the prophecy of the coming of Jesus 2,000 years after Jesus' birth, and that this is the man at that time. And so I did begin teaching that with the Son of Man, the second coming of Jesus is present. This is him now, here among us. But he didn't allow me to go too far with that kind of teachings while he was present. He told me, he said, you can do that after I'm gone. He said, don't talk too much about me. He says, no. He says, give them a little milk. That's the way he talked all the time. And he never would say anything, hardly just direct. He would give it to you in a way that you would have to learn just exactly what he meant by what he said. And so he says, you cannot give babies meat. And I understood what he was referring to. And so he said, give little baby milk. He said, and when I'm gone, he said, then you can say whatever you want to about me. And that was about it. And he named all of my family Muhammad.
Where did Farad Muhammad come from? And
he says to me that he had been studying for us what he meant to teach us and to reform us for 42 years, he says to me. And that his father, he says, I should let the world know these things, what he said to me. And as I never have went too much into his birth and into his sayings of what took place, so I am going to tell this. I intend to give a full description of it on the 26th of next month in Chicago. Give it in details. But at this time, I can say this, that he told me that his father wanted a son that would go and search for the lost people of kind. He said they had it in the Quran, they had it in the Bible, scriptures, that there would be a lost member at the time of the resurrection, and that they had to find that one because it did not give the location. He says his father wanted to make a son that was would be able, pardon my language, to go and search all the civilizations of the earth to locate this people. And when he finds them, he would be able to teach them and make a disciple of his own of them, to teach them, and try and get them together and return them again to their own people. And so he said he was that man, and his father, first child, was a girl. And so he smiled and he said he had to make another try for me. And he said that his father was darker than any of us that he was talking to at the time. So he's a real dark man. He was still alive. And he said, this is the way that this took place. He says, and now, he says, I'm here, and I want you to know, he says, I love you, and my father made me for you, and that we want you to know yourself, and put you on to your own kind. And that is what that he taught, and that of us, about our being away from our people, and that we was unqualified now to mix with them because they were Islam people and we were not, and that we didn't even know who we were. And so that was true, and that was easy to get over to us. And I taken all of this and I taught my people and been teaching them the same. But I never did go into his birth and how his father trained him and what all he said about that. Because I feared my people would not believe, since that they believe mostly spiritual. God is a spirit or something like that, and it's not flesh and blood. He's not visible. And this I'm very slow about getting over to my people, but now they will just have to take it or leave it. These are the facts, and this is according to the Bible, that the Son of Man would come, and not a son of a spirit. And this I want to make clear to them and those who believe in the spirit being God and not man. Main base of it all now is to show forth who is God, and he's not what they has thought he was, that he's in man and man is God. And so that is the way that goes. And in Chicago on the 26th of next month, I will go into detail for his birth and his childhood and his manhood and so forth. Scripture that is relating to this coming of God in man. And the Son there, as the scholars know, it only means the way he has given it to me, that he was born from his father, and to go after the lost found sheep, the Bible call it, and that Jesus made it in beautiful parables, that he will search for the lost sheep and all like that. So it all now has been fulfilled, and this is it now that we are living in, and that my work from him is to teach my people these facts and to reform them and make them what they should be as they are children, as the Bible teaches from God, but they are lost in evil and practice evil, and that they must now forego evil and accept righteousness, because they are creatures of righteousness.
What happened to Faraj Muhammad, and why did he disappear?
Well, that happened like this. After he had given to me what he wanted to give to me as the teachings and the work of preparedness of our people, then it was not necessary for him to remain here among us. So he taking his leave, as it is said in Quran, that the people is not worthy that God remain among them, but he makes a messenger of that people. That through that messenger, he will reach the people through him. And the Bible is verified the same. And so he left, and that he give me hint about his return, but now there is just as much prophesy that he will return or he will not return as there is of his returning. Because the Bible say he will send his angels and they will take care of the gathering of his people. I don't expect him to return in person, not like that, because there is too much for us to look forward to that he will not. It is not really necessary if he's going to send his own people, as they refer to angels, to gather the believers of my people. It's not necessary.
Where did he go and where is he now?
Well, that is something that we actually cannot say. If one would open up such truth as the truth of God to the people, I do think that he's within his rights to stay out of the sight of the people until he has won everything to himself, as the Bible referred for us to it like this, that he's something like a king looking for a kingdom, and that he go and he visit the people, and then he leaves the people and goes away and wait until the time when that he can secure the kingdom. Then he returns to the people that he had made himself manifest to. So I think that is a pretty good answer. Yes. According to what Master Faraj Muhammad taught me on the race question, the origin of the races, in the beginning of the races, they numbered around four. And from these four races of people, they has produced many different types of people. But they are not, say, independent in their beginning. They came from one. We say today we have lots of various color people all over the earth. From, we say, from brown to white. We are not all the same color due to intermixing with such colors as black, brown, yellow, and red and white. This has produced many other various colors. And the origin of it, according to the teachings of Master Farad Muhammad, to me, was from a scientist, a god. We see him. We see him as a god. Back 6,000 years ago, started a, we say, a scientific, or I should say, a master grafting work on the human being to produce a new civilization, a new race of people from the original race of people, our aboriginal people. This man, Yaqub, who discovered in the dream of the black man that he had two people in him, and that he had learned through study and experimenting on germs that this second germ could produce a powerful people that would be able to rule that which they came from. For around 6,000 years until the father, or the aboriginal, produces one superior to his man. And that was this, that he taken through experimental work on the germ of man a people of what we call today a white race. But before he produced it, that white race, he produced it a brown race. He produced it a yellow race, and so on. There is his first grafting from the black man, according to the teachings of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom we see him and know him today as being God in person. That this grafting, in its first stage, he had a brown race of people from a black people. And it taken him, according to the teachings of God, 200 years to produce that brown race. And he kept up the process of killing off the browner or the darker one and marrying the lighter one onto the lighter one. For another 200 years, he had a yellow race of people. And in this length of time, these brown people were spreading over the area, I would say migrating over the earth to find them a home to themselves. And so when the yellow race was produced, he started to migrating over the earth. And from the yellow race, about 200 years, this grafting kept in process. There was on the same islet, well, it was an islet he was on, according to the teachings of Almighty God to me, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise it due forever. At that time, 200 years, keeping up birth control law. This is what he established. He established it on this islet, and there was his lab that he was awakening. We call it a human lab, to produce his man. And from this yellow race, he had a white race 200 years later from them. And this was the end of his work. This was the man he was trying to get to. That was a white race. And that made it, in the total time of his grafting out of black, white, 600 years. And this figure tallies with the Bible's teaching of the man being created in 6 days. This days here you have means 100 years each, 600 years. And this also tallies with the creation of the universe. That's six, the whole entire universe, according to the Quran, was also created in six periods of time. And so Mr. Yaqub, the mighty scientist of that time, he produced it, his man, on six, because it did tally with the creation of the universe, and it was to this number that he could not further his work. And they would be masters, gods, to rule the earth and the people, everything of life, for 6,000 years. And at the end of 6,000 years, the aboriginal people will have at that time produced it, another one, mightier than Yaqub in wisdom and knowledge. And he would be equal with that one that created the heavens and the earth. And he would have the power and the infinitive wisdom to make his word be as the first one. And this is the man we have before us today, to whom praise is due, Master Farad Muhammad, is that man that have the wisdom or the knowledge, excuse me, of how the creation took place in the first place. That's what I mean, the creation of the universe, how it took place. And how life and everything began down to 6,000 years of Mr. Yaqub and his world, and the knowledge of the world to come, of which he himself is the God of. He's the God of the next world. He's planting it now. And that world that he will set up, we see now gradually merging in, will be forever. There will be no change in that one, because, well, the scientists just don't see through the future any other change, and they don't have too much knowledge of his change, as he has not let go yet. He brought me up pretty close, but he has not as yet opened up, as we have in Bible and Quran. I have not seen and I have not heard, and it has not entered into the heart of us what that he will do. But we get little inklings now. We are right in his time, and we do know that he is going to bring about a complete change, as study now for 33 years after his coming. I have learned my own self from study of his words, what he said to me. that it won't be a world like we see today, nothing of the kind, not even to the Orthodox Muslims.